Welcome, I'm Hannah Bava, sitting in for Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. Medi-Cal, the federal state-funded health care program, serves 8 million low-income children and adults in California, providing them with essential health services, including primary and long-term care services. But the program is going to be experiencing a major transformation and expansion due to the Federal Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act that's set to kick in January of 2014. According to Healthcare Foundation, Medi-Cal will see an estimated total increase of 1 million or more enrollees due to the Affordable Care Act, including 680,000 people in 2014 alone. So what is the state of Medi-Cal today? How effective is the program? And how's it going to look like come January 2014? According to the Oakland-based nonprofit California Pan-Ethnic Health Network, of the 1.4 million people who will benefit, two-thirds will be from communities of color, and one-third speak English less than well. Joining us to discuss that is Carrie Sanders, Director of Policy Analysis at California Pan-Ethnic Health Network, a statewide network of multicultural health organizations that work together to improve access to health care and eliminate health disparities by advocating for public policies and sufficient resources to address the health needs of communities of color. Welcome to the studio, Carrie.
Thank you.
And we're also joined on the phone from Berkeley by Laurel Lucia, a policy analyst at UC Berkeley Labor Center. She specializes in analyzing healthcare policy and the economic impact of public policy changes. She's co-author of the recent comprehensive report, Medi-Cal Expansion and Under the Affordable Care Act, Significant Increases in Coverage with Minimal Cost to the State. And welcome, Laurel.
Thank you.
Hi, Laurel.
Hi.
All right. So let's kind of, before we go and talk about what we need to expect to see when the Affordable Care Act kicks in next year, let's talk about the program itself. Why don't we get a brief overview, basically, of Medi-Cal, who's covered by Medi-Cal, what it's supposed to do. Laurel, are you with us?
Yes.
Hi. So can you do that for us, just basically what it is?
Sure. The Medi-Cal program, as you mentioned, is the state of California's Medicaid program. It provides health coverage for more than one in five Californians currently. The biggest eligibility groups today are low-income children and parents, individuals with disabilities, and seniors.
Okay. And what's the difference between Medi-Cal and Medicare?
Medicare primarily serves individuals over age 65 and those with disabilities and is not dependent on income.
And people can't qualify for both. It's either or, and there's that 65 age.
There are some people who are enrolled in both programs if they're low income.
Okay. So how has the eligibility criteria changed over time for Medi-Cal?
I can talk about how it's going to change in 2014. Mm-hmm. Beginning in 2014, childless adults, those without children living at home, will for the first time be eligible for the Medi-Cal program. Currently, childless adults, regardless of how low income they are not eligible for Medi-Cal unless they have a disability or they're a senior. Also in 2014, parents will be eligible for Medi-Cal at a somewhat higher income range than they're currently eligible.
And Carrie, how has that changed over the years? Has that changed at all? And this is a new change coming next year. But what about in previous years? Was it different?
You know, this is actually one of the biggest expansions that we've seen to Medi-Cal in over 50 years. So, I mean, to answer your question, not much has really changed in the past until the Affordable Care Act came along. So, you know, we're very excited at moving forward, seeing the state really embrace this, the new expansion. bringing in this population, because we think at this point with the Affordable Care Act, we're talking about ensuring nearly everyone who is below 138% of the federal poverty level. And that's about $15,800 for an individual, $32,000 for a family of four in California. So it's going to be a huge impact on those families.
And why hadn't those families been under Medi-Cal in the past?
Well, in the past, states could take that option. They could decide that they wanted to cover that population. There are a handful of states, including Washington, Minnesota, that actually did offer a basic health program for single childless adults, but it was at the state cost. So the states actually had to pick up the tab for that bill. Mm-hmm. Under the Affordable Care Act, the feds will be paying for 90% of, actually 100% in the next few years of the cost of that program, working down to 90%, but essentially the majority of the funding will come from the federal government to cover this new population. And so, you know, states are like California are really taking up that expansion and that population because of that financial assistance.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of services does Medi-Cal provide now?
Medi-Cal provides, as you mentioned, medical, dental, vision, long-term care, so a number of different services. Under the budget agreement and the Affordable Care Act, we now will see the Medi-Cal program offering mental health and substance use services.
So that's
will be
new.
Right. That will be incorporated. And before the Affordable Care Act, you know, mental health services were provided, but essentially the focus was on the most severely ill. Now there will be additional funding through the state budget to actually cover people and provide services to folks who are at an earlier stage to help them to prevent more serious mental illness. So it's a very exciting new development.
So preventative medicine is a large part of this now?
You know, for many communities, and you know, you talked a little bit about the communities of color, access to healthcare services has been, you know, limited, and they will benefit very greatly from this expansion. So, you know, there will be some pent up demand. There will be people who haven't had traditional, you know, access to traditional healthcare services. We anticipate that in the first year or so, people will need certain services, surgeries, things that, you know, people have put off. But once, you know, they're in the system, then they'll be able to begin to take advantage of these preventative services, annual checkups, wellness exams, all those kinds of things that keep us well.
Preventatively.
Right.
Laurel, what effect will the Medi-Cal expansion have kind of on the state? Is it good news for the state in terms of jobs, perhaps?
Yeah, it's good news for the state, not just for those who are going to enroll in coverage. The Bay Area Council Economic Institute did a report last year where they estimated the number of new jobs expected in California due to the Affordable Care Act, including the Medi-Cal expansion. And they estimate that California will see 100,000 new jobs each year. Half of those will be in healthcare and social services, and, you know, directly related to the new federal dollars that are coming into the state. But those new healthcare workers will spend money at the grocery store and in retail, and jobs will be created in those sectors as well.
And what other economic impacts can we expect?
Well, research has shown that health coverage is associated with improved educational outcomes. So children who have health coverage perform better on standardized reading tests, for example, and that'll benefit the entire state. And also, research has shown that health coverage is associated with improved worker productivity. So workers with health coverage are less likely to be absent and have higher productivity.
So all research is all, you know, good and well, but, you know, how can we guarantee that this is a good thing for people? Carrie, we spoke earlier about, you know, people are going to need to be a little patient. We need to work through this. It's not going to be perfect from the beginning. So what kind of issues or obstacles are we expecting? Because, so far, we're just hearing, oh, it's wonderful, yay, and all the celebration. What's the reality on the ground going to be like for people?
Well, the Affordable Care Act really focused on expanding coverage. The next step is really, you know, around reforming our delivery system and making sure that people have access to the services in their language, you know, culturally and linguistically appropriate services, et cetera. So when you look at who's going to be newly eligible, the majority are communities of color. A third speak English less than very well. You know, we're California and the federal government will need to invest in really ensuring that we have sufficient providers, primary care providers, who can treat these new populations. There is a bump in funding in the next few years to help pay for training for more primary care providers, to really focus on underserved areas as well. And we know, you know, in California, we have, you know, rural areas, other areas where it can be difficult to, you know, find a provider. But, you know, bringing in 1.5 million new people into the program, of course, there's going to be, you know, some stretching and straining, et cetera. You know, we still are excited, I think, to see that, you know, folks will have coverage. Folks who didn't have coverage before will now be able to, you know, sign up for that doctor's visit, schedule that surgery, begin to, you know, access some of the services that they were not unable to access before.
I guess a question that's connected to this for me, I hear a lot of stories, you know, people that I know personally who are on Medi-Cal who complain, you know, from the long wait lists. For example, someone would be, you know, ill and they would go to the doctor and the doctor would say, yes, you need this surgery, but we're scheduling you for 7 months from now. It's not going to happen immediately, or 8 months from now. And in the meantime, here's some Vicodin for your pain. Or other people would say, you know, I don't go to the ER anymore because, you know, if you go to Highland Hospital in Oakland or SF General in San Francisco, the wait is so long. What will be done to, you know, to fix those situations first? It seems like there's something wrong with Medi-Cal itself on its own. Will this expansion automatically fix that? Or will all this money that's coming in somehow magically, you know, fix things like the long wait times and that?
Well, there's two different things that I think you're talking about. The first is the wait in the emergency rooms. Ideally, when people have when people are insured, they'll have a medical home, a place where they can go to get services, and we'll see. Excuse me, fewer people waiting to waiting in emergency rooms. Part of that whole part of that phenomena is you're seeing people who, and this includes, you know, working poor who are employed, have jobs, et cetera, but don't have a regular source of care. So, you know, when something goes wrong, they go to the emergency rooms and you have, you know, huge waits. With the Affordable Care Act, more people will be able to have access to healthcare services through a medical home where they will know they can go to be seen for routine problems, colds, non-emergency issues that really could be handled separately in an office visit as opposed to an emergency room. So, you know, I think
a lot of people are just going for these things.
Right. I mean, part of the wait is you have people, you know, with all sorts of conditions presenting themselves in emergency rooms.
Because they're uninsured.
Right. Exactly.
And when they become insured, hopefully that goes away.
Right.
That's the idea. Okay. What about the long, the other issue kind of within the Medi-Cal system? You have these long waits for things like surgeries and procedures.
Yeah. So, the budget agreement that was just signed, unfortunately, does still include a 10% provider rate cut, which, you know, in California has one of the lower provider rates in the country that we, you know, pay our physicians to provide these services.
Right.
So that is a contributing factor, I'm sure, to the wait time. And restoring and increasing the provider rates, the Medi-Cal provider rates, needs to be a continuing priority moving forward for our state. There were some efforts this year in the legislature through legislation to try to change this, to fix this through the budget and through separate legislation. There was bipartisan support. But the cost of, you know, restoring these, you know, the cuts to provider rates is significant, in the hundreds of millions of dollars. Mm. So it will require, I think, you know, the legislature, other heads coming together and really trying to think through how best to continue to restore funds and to really make sure that the providers are paid.
I'd like to call out to our listeners now, if you have an experience with Medi-Cal, you're on the Medi-Cal program, what do you think of it? What experiences have you had? How has the quality of health services changed over time for you? What's your experience? Give us a call at 866-798-TALK. That's 866-798-8255. And you can also send us an email at feedback@yourcallradio.org or leave a comment on our website, yourcallradio.org. What's your experience been with Medi-Cal? Have you been able to get the care you need? What are you worried about in terms of the expansion, in terms of maybe overload and longer wait times, whatever it is? Give us a call, 866-798-TALK. So let's go back to this this idea of funding. Laurel, if you can, like, break down for us how will this be funded in the beginning, and then how will it be funded, if you can break that down for us?
Sure. Well, for those newly eligible for Medi-Cal under the Affordable Care Act, the federal government is going to pay 100% of the medical costs for the first 3 years, so for 2014 through 2016. And then in the following years, the amount the federal government will pay will phase down slightly, but the federal government will always pay at least 90% of the medical costs for these new enrollees. The state is just responsible in the initial years for the administrative costs associated with enrolling these folks.
I have an email from Gone Crazy in Hayward, and Gone Crazy asks a question. Either of you can take a hit at it. I have what is called Medi-Medi coverage, that is, being covered by both Medi-Cal and Medicare simultaneously. What are the rules for Medi-Medi coverage in Alameda County, especially for treatment by a cognitive behavioral therapist? Might one of you have an answer to that? People who have dual coverage, what are the rules for that coverage in our county, in Alameda County?
That's a great question.
Carrie Sanders.
And beyond more detailed than what my knowledge is. However, in Alameda County, Health PAC is the name of the county program that you can call to get more information. Mm. And their number is 877-879-9633. As part of the Affordable Care Act, and we didn't really talk about this, but counties have bridge programs that they have begun to get people into coverage who have not been in health coverage before. It would be a great place to call to get more information. As these programs are established, folks will then eventually be able to access Medi-Cal at the state level.
Okay, thank you. Let's go to some phone calls. Phone lines are full, but you can give us a call at 866-798-TALK. Let's start with Jeff in Oakland. Hi, Jeff. Welcome to your call.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Sure.
I just have a real quick question. It's like my daughter has had Medi-Cal for like a year, and then I guess I sent in my 1099, and they denied her, and now, or they denied me, and then they gave it to her, and then now she's like completely out of the system. We're like, what the heck? You know, she can't even get immunized.
How old is she?
Should I just wait until October and then just sign up for the Affordable Care Act and just forget the state and all that BS that's involved with that?
Okay. Sandy can answer that for you, Jeff. Go ahead, Sandy.
Carrie. So, you know, starting in October, I think what you're talking about, the caller's talking about, is the California, under the Affordable Care Act, there's also a new marketplace, a state-run marketplace, the California Health Benefit Exchange, that will be online starting in October. There's open enrollment from October of 2013 to March of 2014. That coverage will be available. It's subsidized coverage for Californians earning between 139% of the federal poverty level up to 400%. And so that what that translates to is about $45,000 for an individual and $94,000 for a family of four. So, you know, in the case of the caller, what may have happened is, you know, his income changed. He was, you know, they were Medi-Cal eligible, maybe they're not. Come October, there will be an opportunity for him to and his daughter to get coverage through the Health Benefit Exchange, through Covered California is the name of the exchange, if their income, you know, means that they no longer qualify for Medi-Cal.
So the answer for Jeff is he does have to wait until October.
Well, I wouldn't say wait. You know, if it's urgent and if his daughter needs care now, you know, I would definitely follow up and try to figure out, you know, what happened. But just know that there will be this option available starting in October, where he'll be able to get subsidized a federal tax credit subsidy to help pay for health insurance through Covered California for him and his daughter.
Okay. And yeah, go ahead, Laurel.
Californians who want to get an estimate of what they might be eligible for before October can go to the Covered California website, and there's a calculator on there that we developed where you can enter your household size and household income, and it will give you an estimate of whether you're eligible for Medi-Cal or coverage through Covered California, and it'll also tell you approximately how much you would pay for that coverage.
Great. We will have that on our website, yourcallradio.org. In addition to, Carrie, we'll get that Alameda County number from you as well and put it on the website. If you have other counties, we will take them as well. Yourcallradio.org. So let's go to Robert in San Francisco. Robert, hi. Welcome to Your Call.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I'm a senior disabled on Medi-Cal, and I'm very grateful for the program. It really saved my life. But I have dental issues, and I understand, you know, that I don't have any dental coverage, and I'm just wondering, in the future, are they going to be able to provide dental care for seniors that are disabled?
Okay, Laurel, you want to take that? Oh, Carrie, go ahead.
Well,
dental coverage.
Yes, Robert, that's a great question, and I, you know, that was one thing I meant to touch on earlier. One of the exciting, another exciting piece of news in the state budget is that there's additional, there's a restoration of dental coverage and enteral nutrition benefits or oral nutrition services for adults that will start in May of 2014. So, beginning in May, Medi-Cal will now cover basic exams and fluoride treatments, crowns, root canal therapy, complete dentures, and certain other services. So that is on the horizon. You should be, you know, aware of that, and hope you'll be able to take advantage of those new services, the restored services that will be available.
All right, Robert, hang on until May. Mary in Watsonville. Hey, Mary, welcome to Your Call.
Oh, thank you very much.
Sure.
I received Medi-Cal April 24th, and I got stuck between two counties, and I had already moved, and yet they assigned it to my last county I lived in. So I finally just received it in the county I'm in, July 1st, and they sent me my Central California Alliance catalog. I just got it actually on Monday, and when I call, Palo Alto Medical Foundation, it says right in my catalog, not accepting Medi-Cal patients.
All right. Thank you, Mary. We are going to answer that question on the other side of the break. This is Your Call. We'll be right back.
Your call is always better when more listeners get involved. If you have a question, idea, or experience to contribute to today's conversation, 866-798-8255 is the number to call. That's 866-798-TALK. You can also send an email question or comment to feedback@yourcallradio.org or just leave a comment on the website, yourcallradio.org.
For those of you joining us now, I'm Hanat Baba, sitting in for Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. We are podcasting our show. You can find more information at yourcallradio.org. You can also listen to past shows there and sign up for our newsletter to find out what's coming up next. Tomorrow, it's our weekly media roundtable, where we talk to journalists about coverage of the week's news. On Monday, we'll talk about Detroit. What is behind the city going bankrupt? And what does that say about the social and economic transformation of America's cities? That's on Monday. But today we're talking about Medi-Cal, the program that serves 8 million low-income adults and children in California. The program is going to be experiencing a major transformation and expansion due to the Affordable Care Act that's set to kick in January of 2014. We want to hear from you. What's been your experience with Medi-Cal? Have you been able to get the care you need? Are you worried about the expansion, or, you know, is it good news for you? What have you been hearing? What are your needs? Join the conversation at 866-798-TALK. That's 866-798-8255. You can also send us an email at feedback@yourcallradio.org. If you're a healthcare provider, what are your thoughts? What are your concerns, especially in terms of if these cuts for doctors, pharmacists, and other healthcare providers? What questions do you have? In studio, I have with me Carrie Sanders. She's director of policy analysis at California Pan-Ethnic Health Network, a statewide network of multicultural health organizations. And on the phone is Laurel Lucia. She's a policy analyst at UC Berkeley Labor Center, specializing in analyzing healthcare policy and the economic impact of public policy changes. And before the break, we talked to Mary in Watsonville, who has been on Medi-Cal since April. She got her catalog. None of the providers are taking them. Carrie.
Yeah.
Any help?
So, you know, for the for questions like that, and for issues, when if people are having barriers or problems actually accessing coverage, you know, I'm surprised, or not surprised, but concerned that she would, you know, get a booklet that would say that she can't access any of the providers. There is a group to call, the Health Consumer Alliance, which is, you know, legal service providers. It's a network throughout the state, and they are in different parts of the state who can perhaps help her to figure out, to talk through the details of her situation.
Okay.
And to figure out what's happening in her county.
Okay.
So the Health Consumer Alliance, I don't have a website.
We'll find it,
but
we'll put it on our website.
Definitely, because they do have, you know, very helpful fact sheets that answer a lot of questions that people have, as well as legal services representatives who can help people with specific cases where they're having difficulty accessing coverage.
Okay. Let's go to another caller, Jessica in San Francisco. Hi, welcome to Your Call.
Hi.
Go ahead.
My question is, we're ineligible for Medi-Cal because we earn too much, but when the health care exchange becomes, you know, open, we won't be able to afford that either. So what's going to happen to people that can't afford to buy their own health insurance but can't get Medi-Cal?
Laurel, Lucia, you want to take that one? There's like this window of people who are not eligible for Medi-Cal but can't afford other health care. What do they do?
Uh-huh. Well, depending on your income, you may be eligible for federal tax credits on premiums in Cover California. And for a lot of people, that will make coverage significantly more affordable. But for some, they will still find coverage unaffordable. There are different levels of coverage in the exchange for those who can only afford kind of a minimum plan called a bronze plan. They can purchase that. Yeah.
So it's a kind of a sucky situation for them, a little bit.
Well, most people are going to see coverage that's more affordable than what they could get without the Affordable Care Act today.
Okay, so let's keep going to the phones that are full right now, but you can give us a call, 866-798-8255. Shoot us an email at feedback@yourcallradio.org. Let's go to Virginia in Watsonville. Hi, Virginia, welcome.
Hi, I'm calling to just say my experience with Medi-Cal.
Okay.
And my question. So it was good until I turned 21 because they cut my dental and my eye care, vision care. So ever since then, I just had medical help. But so I'm just wondering, are they going to add the vision again or?
Okay. Okay. Thanks, Jessica. So Carrie, dental is coming back. What about vision?
I know there have been efforts to try to restore to make other restorations to Medi-Cal. Unfortunately, in 2009, and in general, California has faced a huge budget deficit. This year, for the first time, thanks to Proposition 30, the state was able to, we actually had a surplus in terms of our budget that they were then able to use to begin to make some of these restorations to important services in Medi-Cal. And so, we're very excited again about the dental restorations. They are partial restorations, so we would like to see the full restoration. And obviously, we'll continue to advocate in the coming years for a full restoration of other services in Medi-Cal as well.
So no vision?
At this
the
point,
short answer.
Right. At this point, that was not included as part of the budget agreement. So, yeah.
Okay. All right. Drew in San Francisco. Drew, welcome to your call.
Hi. I have a two-part question. It's really concerning special needs, special interest groups. Right now, there are programs like Ryan White or OAHIP to help HIV-positive patients. Ryan White will help them cover the cost of their drugs, and OAHIP will actually pay the insurance premium for them. I'm wondering what's going to happen to these programs with the expansion. I mean, because what could end up happening, which is the second part of my question, is that, for example, OAHIP may pay your $600 premium, monthly premium right now. The new program may do an income-based thing, which suddenly says, okay, well, now instead of us covering the whole premium, we're only going to cover of the $600, $400. So you've got to come up with $200. And then because the insurance companies have this deductible creep, in the case of HIV-positive patients, their blood work is key. And blood work has become part of the deductible. So every year, there's another $2,500 out of pocket for their deductible, so an additional $200. So this expansion, from the way I'm looking at it, could mean an HIV-positive patient who currently is under OAHIP and Ryan White, who basically is paying the $2,500 deductible out of pocket for their coverage a year, could go up to the $2,500 plus an extra $2,400 plus whatever the deductibles are or the copays on their medication. So it could be a really, really stressful, dangerous thing, and I'm wondering if you know anything about this.
Okay, thank you, Drew. Carrie, special programs like the HIV programs.
Yeah, it's a really great question, and, honestly, beyond the scope of, my particular knowledge, I can say that I've been in meetings with county representatives, including San Francisco, other Bay Area counties, who are, really looking at the intersection between the ACA and some of these special population programs and trying to figure out, how to make sure that there's continuity of care and that people, will continue to be able to access these services in 2014. You might try SF in San Francisco. There's San Francisco PATH, which is, the low-income program in San Francisco. It's a there's a number you can call, 415-615-4510, where you might be able to, you know, ask this question. You know, given how, given the details of the out-of-pocket and some of the concerns that Robert has, I think it might be helpful for him to actually speak with an expert who could kind of help him figure this out.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go to an email. A listener has said, I have heard on a past program that there are currently not enough doctors and medical providers who accept Medi-Cal. And so now there will be even more people on Medi-Cal who cannot find doctors. What is being done to address this problem? And why did the state not increase the reimbursement to providers? What is behind this? Laurel, you want to take that one?
Sure. Well, like Carrie mentioned earlier, increasing Medicaid reimbursement rates would be one way to ensure more providers participating in the program. One of the reasons I think the state didn't take that on in the budget this year was due to budget concerns. There are these 2 years of temporary increases in Medicaid provider reimbursement rates under the Affordable Care Act. The idea behind those was to build up the number of providers participating, but it is a temporary 2 year increase funded by the federal government.
Okay.
Another thing I'd mention is the low-income health programs, which are the county-based Bridge to Reform programs, are one way that the state is trying to get ready for the new influx of patients. So there's already 500,000 Californians who are enrolled in this low-income health program who will transition into Medi-Cal in 2014, and these individuals are already using some of the same provider networks that they'll be using starting in 2014.
Mm-hmm. I want to get back to Carrie and kind of talk about, you know, you at the California Pan-Ethnic Health Network, you work to inform and educate low-income communities, communities of color, about their options. How are you talking to them about that? What are you saying to them? And does it look like people are responsive and trusting of, you know, this is going to work?
Yeah, so there have been some polls that have been done, you know, when the Affordable Care Act passed. In fact, you know, people were looking at how will communities of color, limited English proficient, you know, how much do they know about the Affordable Care Act? And when you talk to them about it, what, you know, what are their attitudes? And one of the things that, you know, we found is the majority don't know, or at least, you know, a couple years ago, we're unaware of the Affordable Care Act and what the benefits would be. But when you talk to them about the benefits, they actually tend to be very supportive. In fact, more supportive than, you know, mainstream communities. And so I think there is a very real need that this is, you know, addressing, that the attitudes, I think, are illustrating. And it's really just a question of being able to educate, let them know that these services are available. Mm-hmm. You know, we know that the, you know, Covered California is going to be investing millions of dollars in advertising to try to get the word out to communities. Also, as part of the budget agreement, the state has awarded $53 million to counties to do outreach and enrollment for the Medi-Cal program. So there'll be sort of, I think, a two-pronged effort with Covered California, with county outreach and enrollment services for Medi-Cal. Part of those funds need to go to community-based organizations to partner with counties to help get the word out about the Medi-Cal expansion and what it means.
In that vein, we got a call from Tara in West Contra Costa County. She said, you know, she said people on Medi-Cal, like herself, are often poor and can be intimidated by doctors. You know, how is there any kind of training you provide? Is there any kind of workshop that you provide kind of to people who aren't used to getting into the healthcare system and now need to?
Yeah. So, you know, we don't, as CPEN, we're a statewide organization and our focus is really on policy, but we do, you know, work with community-based organizations to educate them about the Affordable Care Act. And we work with a lot of grassroots groups across the state. Mm-hmm. So part of our, we see our work is really making, you know, educating them and making sure that they're comfortable about and talking about the Affordable Care Act so that they can then go into their communities and talk to their constituents about what it means. And you're absolutely right. I think, you know, people have very different cultural and linguistic backgrounds that makes approaching or accessing healthcare services challenging. Barriers that people face, fears, you know, immigration, other issues can sometimes make it very difficult for people to feel like they can access services that they need. So, you know, we really rely on those groups because they know their communities and their constituents to tell us what they're hearing from their communities, what they're hearing on the ground, so that we can, you know, try to influence some of the state policies around how education and outreach will be conducted.
And if you'd like to call in, we still have some time. The number is 866-798-TALK, 866-798-8255. What has been your experience with Medi-Cal? What do you like to, what would you like to know about the new Affordable Care Act? It kicks in January 2014. What's on your mind? And if you're a healthcare provider, what's on your mind in terms of the Affordable Care Act, how it will affect you, how it will affect your patients, how it will affect your practice if you are a doctor or pharmacist with the cuts that are coming to you? What questions do you have? 866-798-TALK. That's 866-798-8255. You can also email us at feedback@yourcallradio.org. Laurel, your joint research with UCLA's Center for Health Policy Research said that in 2014, California would pay between $188 million and $453 million more because of changes in the federal law that were meant to reduce the number of uninsured Americans. And then three quarters of the money will go towards signing people up who are eligible for the program and they're not using it now. So why are so many people who are already eligible for the program not benefiting from it?
Well, many people who are currently eligible for the program are not aware of the program or aware that they're eligible. Another reason some people don't sign up is they encounter difficulties in the enrollment process. And that's one thing we haven't talked about, but another big change that's coming with the Affordable Care Act. The Affordable Care Act requires states to really simplify the eligibility and enrollment and annual redetermination processes. So currently, to be eligible for Medi-Cal, the state looks at your assets. It's called the asset test, like, you know, do you have a house? How much money is in your bank account? In addition to looking at your income. Mm-hmm. And starting next year, for those who are eligible for Medi-Cal based on their income, not based on a disability or age, the state will just look at income and not assets.
And should that take a shorter time then? I know people who've applied to Medi-Cal and, you know, there's months ago and they're waiting for their card. So that should be shortened then?
Yeah, so that's one way they're simplifying the process. Another way is to the extent possible, the state is going to be using electronic data sources to verify income and other eligibility information. So instead of providing a lot of paperwork to the state to show that you're eligible, the state will be required to use the data they already have.
With your Social Security number?
Mm-hmm.
Just punch it in kind of deal. Okay, let's go to another caller. Let's go to Corrine in Santa Cruz. Hi, Corrine. Welcome to Your Call.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I'm listening through the phone, so part of my question may have just been answered, and I didn't get all of it. I'm on Medicare. I'm 80. My income is $11,003. And I have not been able to enter Medi-Cal or any of those other programs that help pay Medicare premiums because of my assets, which are now about $17,000. So my question is, will there be some change in the level of assets that you can't have above in order to access some of these programs.
And Corrine, Medicare has not been meeting your needs?
Well, I have big dental needs, and okay. I do a lot of alternative care, which is out of pocket. And I do have regular health care providers, but my main providers are from the complementary health care community.
Okay. Thanks, Corrine. Carrie, you want to take that one?
Sure. I think as Laurel just said, we're moving to a new system where people will be looking at your income in order to determine whether you're Medi-Cal eligible, rather than the assets test, and so it could actually impact Corrine in her situation, perhaps make it easier for her to access some of those services
by not looking at her assets.
Yeah, and I don't know, Laura, if you want to add, because it's complicated.
Yeah,
so,
the
Laura.
New system primarily affects those under age 65, those eligible based on their income. So that's where they're getting rid of the asset test. My understanding is Californians who would be eligible for Medi-Cal based on their age or a disability, the asset test may still be applied to them.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that, Laurel. Let's keep going. You have many questions. Keep calling at 866-798-8255. Let's go to Alex in San Francisco. Welcome to your call.
Thank you. Kaiser is close to where I am. So with Medi-Cal, can I go to Kaiser for treatment?
Okay, thank you. Carrie?
Or Laurel?
Or Laurel?
I don't believe that Kaiser will be one of the Medi-Cal managed care plans in San Francisco. I think I would recommend calling the San Francisco Department of Public Health to check on that.
Okay. All right, that's your answer, Alex. Ask your local. You can just go to Kaiser and ask them. So, again, let me put that number out there. It seems that many of you have questions. 866-798-8255. Email us at feedback@yourcallradio.org. So, Carrie, this is starting in January. What should we, immediately expect? January 1st, 2014.
So hopefully, in January, I mean, the ideal situation is that people who are newly eligible will have, connected with services actually even before January. So many advocates are working with, the state and counties are working to try to enroll people into these low-income health programs that we've talked a little bit about. There are currently 500,000 people who are enrolled in these programs. And what's nice about that is they now have a medical home. They now have a place where they can go or contact to begin to access those services, and as part of the transition, they will starting January be transitioned into the state Medi-Cal program, where they will be they'll have an opportunity to choose the provider network that they want to be a part of. Mm-hmm. If they don't choose, they'll be assigned automatically to the first choice will be to the current medical home that they're already connected to. So the more that we can do now to get the word out before 2014, I think the easier that transition will be come January, as folks will already have that connection. They'll know who to contact with questions, and they'll also have an opportunity to select or to choose the provider network that they would like to be a part of.
And for those who are already on Medi-Cal, will that happen through their providers, or what avenues will be used to give them all that information?
Yeah, so again, Laurel touched on this too, but under the Affordable Care Act, there's a real simplification of the enrollment processes. And so, currently, if you want to get on Medi-Cal, you have to go to the county to access some of the, generally you go to the county to access those services. Under the Affordable Care Act, people will be able to call You know, if you call Covered California, for example, the Health Benefit Exchange, they will determine whether you may be Medi-Cal eligible, and then they will transfer you to the appropriate person who can help to process your question or your request. So the idea is really that there's sort of, you know, no matter what door through you know, whichever door you enter to try to enroll in coverage, that someone will be there to help you to answer questions, et cetera. I know, you know, there will also be assisters, certified enrollment assisters, who will be working with Covered California to try to enroll people into coverage into Covered California. However, you know, as part of that, counties will also be doing outreach and enrollment as well. So hopefully, you know, they'll be able to connect up with potentially eligible individuals as well.
Okay, Laurel, what kinds of challenges or issues should we maybe expect that will come up almost immediately, or if any?
Well, I think we've talked about some of them. I think we need to be watching that there's adequate capacity and adequate access for the new enrollees. I wanted to add on to what Carrie was just saying about what people can expect in 2014. We've talked a lot about those who are newly eligible for Medi-Cal, but one thing that those already enrolled in Medi-Cal can expect in 2014 is that the redetermination process is expected to be easier under the Affordable Care Act. It'll be an annual redetermination process instead of twice a year, and the electronic data sources I mentioned earlier will be used to minimize the amount of information that people have to submit.
So what will you be watching?
I guess we'll be watching the number of people who enroll. We know that, you know, at least 500,000 are going to be transitioned over from these low-income health programs to Medi-Cal, and there are 1.4 million who are going to be newly eligible. So how many more of those 900,000 are going to enroll right away?
And Corey, what are you going to be doing from now until January?
We'll be monitoring the transition, looking at, you know, both the successes but also problems that arise to try to address those.
Okay, thank you. That is Corey Sanders, and Laurel Lucia was with us from Berkeley. Thank you for joining us. Thanks for your emails and phone calls. I'm Hannah Baba, sitting in for Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. On the next Your Call, it's our Friday Media Roundtable. We'll discuss the media coverage of the economy. This week, Dodd-Frank Wall Street reform turned three, and President Obama kicked off a series of speeches on the economy. How are media covering economic issues and Wall Street? We'll be joined by McClatchy's Kevin Hall and the Huffington Post's Mark Gongloff. Where did you see the best reporting this week? It's Your Call with Angie Coiro and you.
Support for Your Call comes from the listeners of KALW. To sign up for our podcast or newsletter, or to share the show on Facebook or Twitter, visit yourcallradio.org. Malihe Razazan and Ali Budner produce the show. Matt Martin is our executive producer. Phil Hartman is our chief engineer. And Joe Burke is the studio engineer. Our theme music was composed and performed by Live Human. Your Call is produced by KALW in San Francisco. Special thanks to our partners at KUSP in Santa Cruz. You can email us at feedback@yourcallradio.org.